The Pentagon has decades-old management problems it needs to scrub if it wants to get off the high-risk list at the Government Accountability Office. But the department has changed a lot since GAO first added its business transformation plan to the list in 2005. Zena Meritz, Director of Defense Capabilities and Management Issues at the GAO, and looking at how the Pentagon is doing with defense business transformation. Zena, it's a pleasure to have you on the program. I talked to your big boss, General Dodaro, about this issue when the high-risk list first came out. But this is, as I mentioned, it's been around for a long time, and it's gone through a number of iterations. And I wonder what specifically you are looking at when it comes to weaknesses in business transformation, Zena. Thanks for coming on today.
Sure. Thank you, Francis, for having me on your show again. Yes, in this particular review, we looked at whether DOD was making any progress at all. As you mentioned, that this has been a pervasive problem, decades-old management weaknesses in their business functions. Some of the deficiencies include outdated processes and systems. As recent as in our 2013 and 2015 report, we continue to note that DOD has made some progress in addressing some of the weaknesses, but there's much more to be done. For example, we note in our report that they still lack any type of integrated corrective action plan, or basically a simple roadmap for how it's going to address issues that we've identified. And even the steps that they have taken, they don't have specific goals or measures or accountability mechanisms to monitor the progress.
So there's two things, the kind of two buckets that I see as I look at your report. One bucket is the actual improvements. And the other bucket is the way that those improvements are documented and managed and benchmarked. Am I on track there, Zena?
Yes, you're on track. And I would like to put it in this particular context. Basically, DOD has what they call a chief management officer, as well as a deputy chief management officer, who's roles are responsible for working with DOD senior leadership and those responsible for the various business functions to try to influence and provide oversight of the transformation efforts across the department. However, we continue to find that DOD senior leadership has not overseen the development of the corrective action plan, and once again, they lack performance measures that are clear, comprehensive, linked to strategic goals. And also, they have not fully assessed their capacity to be able to even monitor its transformation efforts.
I want to quote this passage and get your a little more detail on what you're getting at here, Zena.
Sure.
You write, DOD's CMO, Chief Management Officer, who is also the Deputy Secretary of Defense, and DCMO, Deputy Chief Management Officer, have not communicated priorities for its business goals or overseen the development of a corrective action plan that outlines the root causes hindering progress at its business transformation efforts and the solutions needed to address them. You talked about a little piece of that already in our conversation, Zena, but the part of that that jumps out at me is when you refer to that corrective action plan, why is it so important for them to, as you write here, outline the root causes hindering progress? What will they learn or what will they gain by being able to say why they're having the problems they're having?
Sure. These functions are very critical to supporting the warfighter. And whenever we conduct the audit, we have specific criteria, standards that we actually measure their progress against. And we found that there are key leading practices within federal agencies that have shown that by having a corrective action plan with corrective measures, this is key to their success. And thus far, we haven't seen the top leadership commitment in these areas. One, because there's been a significant amount of turnover in some of these key roles, such as the chief management officer and the deputy chief management officer, in which that position is still actually vacant and has been vacant for a little while now.
You note in this report the change of title of the DCMO position and the merger of that title, of that job, with the chief information officer into the job of the Undersecretary of Defense for Business Management and Information. That's a provision in the National Defense Authorization Act for 2015, for FY15, and that will take effect, it says here, February of 2017. What impact do you expect to see that change have on the issues that you're talking about in this report, sufficient that you thought it was necessary to note that change was coming?
Yes. For a number of years, ever since this issue has been on our high-risk report since 2005, we have believed that the only way to have this issue elevated with the necessary priority is to have someone at a higher level, at the undersecretary level, in order to make these reforms happen. So we welcome the fact that this particular provision was included in the 2015 NDAA, and we do think that it will help further the efforts in the implementation of recommendations that we've even made to the department if this position is elevated higher.
Is that just because that person has such a direct line both to the deputy secretary and then to the secretary? Excuse me, or is there some other reason?
No, that is correct, because the current position, basically, as we kind of like to say, it doesn't have real teeth. We think the elevation of this position will give it more teeth and more authority to conduct the duties that we had envisioned that the office would also conduct.
Zena Merritt of the Government Accountability Office is looking at defense business transformation, and you can find a link to her team's work at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth later this afternoon. Now, it's not all cloud. There's some silver lining here, it appears. You write, the Office of the DCMOs collected some performance information to satisfy government-wide requirements. Is it your takeaway, though, that information is collected as a compliance exercise, or are they collecting information that's useful in the process of trying to transform their business efforts?
Part of it is compliance, because the Office of Management and Budget requires that every federal agency collect performance information to better gauge how well they're doing. But we still find that they have gaps in the information that they have collected, and they really need to further redefine what their performance objectives are and their measures in which they are trying to gauge progress with.
The bottom line here is that it sounds like, and you kind of alluded to this at the beginning, sounds like they're headed in the right direction, but progress, is it that it's not happening fast enough, or it's not going in the right direction, Zena, or they're hampered by some kind of situation inside the Pentagon? I mean, we talked about the fact that some of their processes have been around for quite a while. Is that the deal, that there some of these things are holding them back, or what seems to be the holdup, I guess?
Once again, I think it's been inconsistency within the leadership structure that's responsible for implementing these actions. And in our high-risk report, we have five basic criteria that they need to meet in order to demonstrate that they've made progress in order to be removed from our high-risk list. The first is leadership commitment. The second is the capacity to address problems. The third is a corrective action plan. The fourth is a program to monitor corrective measures. And the fifth is demonstrated progress in implementing the corrective measures. Basically, they have not met two of these five, and they partially met the other. So that's the determination, and that's the goal that at least we have set in order for them to have some benchmark of how to get off of our high-risk list.
And those all sound like they're doable. Is it your sense that they're more doable with the change in structure that we can expect to see in February 2017? And is it necessary, I guess? None of those things that you're suggesting sound like things that have to wait until February 2017.
No, and they have actually started making some progress in some of them, but we do think when there's more stability, especially at the leadership level, that we may see progress. And what we do is we meet with them about quarterly to talk about progress. We provide them basically preliminary assessments along the way. So we are working with them step by step to try to help them get there. We've had some issues that have been on the high-risk list since 1990. So they have made some progress if you are to look at when we first put them on in 2005 in comparison to where they are now here in 2015.
Yeah, 2005 looks a lot better than 1990 to me, Zena.
Yes, indeed.